Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the 2015 presentation of nursing graduates. Woo!
I'm Carrie.
And I'm Liz.
After about 60 weeks of nursing classes, over 500 clinical hours, 4,000 hours spent contemplating dropping out of nursing, and about 30 tests with 10 hours spent studying for each and Liz the night before, we are done.
We have shared many memories together, some very difficult and some very exciting.
We have seen each other at our worst and supported each other through tears, anxiety, and the pain of waking up at 4 a.m. for clinicals.
Even through the hard times, we have had many exciting memories that make it all worth it. Who will forget the feeling of relief after oral finals? I don't think I've ever cried so much in my entire life.
Our memories from the nursing program include classes in adult health, pediatrics, obstetrics, community health, and many more.
Some of our favorite memories from class are Chris's fun lectures with Amber Lofton as the adrenal Medusa, Kathy saying in critical thinking, CT scans are not the first option, and Carrie's kidney stone dance from this past week in Kaplan Review.
Also, who can forget their first day at RMH acting like we actually knew what we were doing, but in reality, we had no idea. I know I won't forget my first clinicals at RMH. The level 2 student was holding up my patient while I wiped Greer's goo on her bare butt, and I leaned in closer and she farted in my face.
Carrie, we know you blame your farts on your patients. At some point in the nursing program, we have all diagnosed each other with horrible diseases based on minor signs and symptoms, like a headache must mean a subarachnoid brain bleed.
Katie Ekman shared, "We always knew that once it got to a certain time of night before the test, someone would get giggly and we would all start to lose it."
We all do love those memories. Before we introduce our speaker, Nevin will perform a song that he wrote in our first semester in nursing school.
I like the sound of your lungs. I like the beat of your heart. And I need to remember to give that sub Q in the back of your arm. If you need some water, don't be afraid to ask. If you're in pain, I'll get your meds real fast. Oh, you're gonna get better under my care. You need me, just call me, I'll be right there. Ask how you're feeling, I wanna know everything. Gonna get better under my care. If you're feeling discomfort, I want you to share. Would you like a chaplain to visit for prayer? I see you're on Coumadin. Makes your blood real thin. It's really important to prevent embolism. But you have to remember that if you get a cut, your blood will be thinner, so it needs to be shut. Oh, you're gonna get better under my care. Need me, just call me, I'll be right there. Look at your stitches, don't want them to tear. Can I do an assessment? Gotta slightly undress ya and listen to your heart sounds. Lub dub, lub dub, lub dub, lub dub. That might be arrhythmia. You're gonna get better under my care. You need me, just call me, I'll be right there. When you're doing better, I'll help you get out of here.
He's so talented. I absolutely love it. Gonna miss him. Okay, our speaker today is Don Tyson. Don has been teaching us in level 3 in leadership. He taught us in conceptual frame, some of us in conceptual framework. And he is just really excited to be here and speak with us. And one of the things he wanted me to share is that he has a granddaughter, and he's been spending a lot of time with her. And that's pretty much how he's been spending his time lately. So I just wanted to share that with everyone. He's a grandfather. So Don, thank you so much for sharing with us today.
Well, it's hard to know how to follow that song. Somehow, what I have to say isn't along the same lines, I don't think. Well, maybe it is, though. Just give me a moment here. I've entitled this, "So what kind of bag will you carry with you? What will be in your bag? Where will it go? And how will you use it?" Subtitled, "How Do We Wash Feet as Serving Leaders?" Well, the latter part of this week, just a sidebar, we heard the awful story and mourned the loss of 5 senior nursing students at Georgia State University as the result of an interstate auto accident while they were on their way to their last day of clinicals. And I woke up this morning to hear the horrible news that a 7.9 earthquake had struck Kathmandu. And just 2 years ago, I was in Kathmandu with my brother-in-law, whose daughter married my son. And so the first thing we did was text my daughter-in-law in Charlottesville. And fortunately, she said, yes, they have been in contact with her. They are safe, but they've been sleeping outside in their courtyard for fear of what might happen to their concrete house. Sometimes it's hard to celebrate when there's so much grief in the world. So I'd like to pause for a minute in a moment of silence to remember the families and co-classmates of these nursing students, as well as the families of the maybe thousands of people who lost their lives in Nepal in the last 24 hours. If you would join me in silence, please. Amen. Several weeks ago, I went to Goshen, Indiana, and in Goshen is where I went to nursing school, and I made a couple observations while I was there. First, I started thinking about what I was going to say today, and I realized that I have no clue who spoke at Pinning 36 years ago, and you're probably going to forget what I have to say today anyway, but I press on. My second realization was the classmates that I stayed with while I was there 2 weeks ago. They're a couple. They were married 2 weeks after graduation or something like that, maybe 4 weeks. We spent many hours together studying with other friends in a little clique at Goshen College. One of them went on to work in pediatrics, as I recall. She eventually got her master's degree, and a couple years ago, right on the heels of me getting my degree, she got her PhD. She's now the director of the master's program at Goshen College and a true equal to me. Her husband, I think, worked in the OR for a number of years, and then he decided to leave nursing. He worked as a maintenance worker at a local Mennonite retirement community, and now he's the lead maintenance person for an organization that makes accessible, affordable housing for those with limited monetary means. And I got to wondering, did my friend abandon that which he was educated about and spent who knows how much money, not as much as these graduates today? 2 people, the same education, the same skills, the same similar Anabaptist values, but using them in different ways, and maybe one could question whether my one friend was really using his skills and education at all. But maybe they're both still practicing caring that Goshen College educated them about. Did he waste his money because he wasn't practicing being a nurse? Something that doesn't get tested on NCLEX is how to fix a toilet. Or really, Was he carrying out what Goshen College truly at the core was about in their nursing program? And then I got to thinking, it's really in nursing school, at least at Goshen and EMU and Heston and other faith-based schools, that we educate students about having two tool bags, maybe. You see in the textbooks that you've been reading aggressively over the last 2 years, Berman and Snyder, Kosher and Erb, Sullivan, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The focus is on skills, knowledge, critical thinking, access to information, problem solving, giving baths, giving meds, understanding the meds, understanding the side effects of the meds, understanding how to give them safely, et cetera, how to delegate, all really essential skills. I mean, when I need the hospital, I want my nurses to know that. But I call that the scientific worldview. And that may be illustrated by this computer bag, full with a computer inside, normally, full of great scientific information. In the last 2 years, well, I haven't mastered this computer yet, either. Where did it go? There it is, I'm sorry. In the last 2 years, however, you've been exposed to something else. You've read about it, you've reflected on it, you wrote about it, and wrote about it, and wrote about it. Something called the Sacred Covenant, holy ground, a place where we really should be taking our shoes off, because that time of care with our patients really is holy ground. And it focuses on some approaches that the EMU nursing faculty many years ago developed or identified: advocacy, agape love, empowerment, grace, justice, partnership, presence, reconciliation, and service. And these strategies are held closely by the nursing department at EMU as equally important and maybe even more necessary than the computer skills. And I think they're represented by this well-worn nursing bag of many years ago. Now, Ann Hirschberger tells me that the proper way to use this bag is to set it on the patient's floor of their home while visiting, but being sure there's a newspaper underneath it, I guess for infection control purposes. But if we take holy ground seriously, maybe we got to take the newspaper off. For is that patient's home also not holy ground? And in that bag,
not a computer, there's a lot of things in there, I'm not even going to ask why,
but a towel. A towel for washing feet, which I think is the illustration of Sacred Covenant. In this last semester, you had the opportunity to formulate your own understanding of nursing and Sacred Covenant and how that fits with what you're going to be doing for the next 40 or 50 years. Further, you learned about a cousin to Sacred Covenant, something called serving leadership, a philosophy that states that to be a leader, one needs to first serve, to wash someone else's feet. Now, some of you scoffed at this whole idea of Sacred Covenant and servant leadership. One of you this semester, and I quote, and it's not according to APA criteria, but I quote, "To suggest that a true leader is one who serves his followers almost seems absurd to me. I felt annoyed when I was asked to read The Serving Leader, because I had grown up with the notion that to serve is to show weakness, and that leaders, nurses, must show no weakness or they will lose the trust of their followers or patients or doctors," end quote. So this idea of Sacred Covenant and servant leadership really is revolutionary and countercultural. But I challenge you to think about how will you use these two worldview skill sets as you leave EMU this weekend? Or will you, and why? Early in the semester, I said to you, you're the leaders that this world's been waiting for. And some of you, because some of us are getting old, I hate to admit it, at least I can admit it, and it's obvious that we as current leaders and nurses haven't gotten it right yet. We haven't met the needs of our community, and we haven't fixed the broken healthcare system. But some of you have said, well, I'm not sure I can be the kind of nurse and leader you want me to be. Well, isn't that unlike what Tracy Kidder said in his book called Mountains Beyond Mountains, as he referred to Paul Farmer? Kidder said that a lot of people, when hearing and reading about Paul Farmer and the work he's done in Haiti and elsewhere, that they feel they've not done the great things that Farmer has done. And maybe they've wasted their lives. They can't do what Farmer did. But did Paul Farmer really do anything that was more earth-shattering than wash people's feet? Or does my friend, who's the director of a master's program, really not do any more than wash the feet of the students she educates? Or does my friend, who makes sure that the bathrooms work, that the electricity works, and that people can find apartments and houses that they can truly afford, is that really not just washing feet? Over the past 2 years, you've begun to experience this idea of washing feet, both figuratively and literally. Some of you have practiced presence to a grieving family in the emergency room. Some have provided opportunities and hopefully empowered teens at the Boys and Girls Club. Some have served by washing feet in other ways. For example, shaving a male patient who hasn't been shaved for the last 20 days that they've been in the hospital. Some developed relationships and agape love with women at the STD clinic. Others initiated reconciliation by listening to someone labeled the drug seeker. Some sought justice by challenging us to do something about the needs and methods for obtaining clean water by persons in other cultures. And one last example, this person said it so eloquently in a paper that I graded this semester. I can often be the lone wolf type. I feel I need to make better efforts to fully consider everything and everyone in my environment and seek to increase the worth of not only myself, but more importantly, them as well. So I challenge you that while the world needs you to excel at those computer bag of nursing care skills, it also needs you to continue to excel at sacred covenant gifts as well. But that's not easy. The world seems to be wanting us to be the best nurse that can start the best IV. I mean, I used to like to joke in ICU when I worked 30 years ago, there wasn't a male patient I couldn't put a Foley catheter in. But there's a bigger, more important thing that we need to be doing as nurses, and to me, that's sacred covenant. One student said, well, I'm not quite sure, but somehow what I've got to do is develop a healthy mix of humility and confidence. To me, one balancing one bag with the other bag. It won't be easy because there's a lot of people who think that this is soft nursing, but don't be disheartened because there's a lot of people around you, some of your coworkers, your peers, your classmates, your current classmates, your professors, whom you can go to seek support to. Nelson Mandela talks about this idea of relationships when he talks about the African concept of Ubuntu. And he talks about that in the context of leading and serving, the concept that people can be empowered by other people, thus becoming their best selves through the unselfish interactions of others. And thus you can take both bags into the future by washing others' feet and practicing Ubuntu, helping others to become healthy and whole. And you then join what Mandela talks about, the, quote, infinite complex web of other human beings, a long line of service, a continuum of those who came before you and those who will succeed you. And it's interesting, one of your peers alluded to this concept that Mandela is talking about. When in her paper, she said being a serving leader is, quote, like a teaching waterfall. One person serves and teaches the next, passing along that knowledge while transitioning from student to leader, from nurse to patient, and from one to another, cascading throughout wherever one practices. You're headed into the future. And as you help others become whole, so they too can become leaders, caregivers and teachers, and serving individuals. And it all started with one person washing the feet of his followers. Whether you stay in nursing like my one friend or whether you move on to something besides nursing, hopefully you will continue to serve as a serving leader and take those sacred covenant approaches with you. May you continue to wash feet using both tool bags, to do what one anonymous person wrote, to care more than others think is wise, to risk more than others think is safe, to dream more than others think is practical, and to expect more than others think is possible. Blessings as you go from this place as wonderful, caring, serving nurses with both of your bags.
Thank you, Don, for your words and the challenge to the graduates to take their bags with them, both the bag of the science and the bag of engaging in a sacred covenant and standing on holy ground. And I think I will remove my shoes because I think when we engage with our students that we truly are standing on holy ground. It's my privilege now to present the graduates to you, and if their families would come to my left, as their name is called, or go ahead and line up, and then as your graduate's name is called, if you'll come on stage. Maybe if we could line up on the further on the left there so that everyone can see. Elizabeth Aldifer is receiving a stethoscope from her parents, Steve and Lois Aldifer, both of whom are also EMU nursing graduates. Elizabeth has taken a position on 5 West at RMH, working with stroke, telemetry, and renal patients. She hopes to one day go back to school and become a nursing professor, or a nurse practitioner. She wants to thank her family, fellow Level 3 students, and professors for helping to mold her into the person that she is today. Mariah Batkins is being pinned by her mother, Amy Batkins. Mariah is going to work as a registered nurse at Martha Jefferson Hospital on the telemetry unit following graduation. She would like to thank her family and friends for all their continuous support and encouragement these last 4 years. Nevin Blosser is receiving a stethoscope from his mom, Donna Blosser. Nevin's post-graduation plans are to get married, buy a house, and have lots and lots of babies. Nevin also hopes to find a job either in the operating room or the critical care unit at RMH. Nevin would like to thank his family for supporting him during the nursing program and his beautiful fiance, Michaela, for her unwavering support. Kelsey Blosser is receiving a stethoscope from her parents, Myron and Rhonda Blosser. Kelsey's post-graduation plans are to study for the NCLEX, get married in June, and then relax for 2 weeks in Arizona on her honeymoon. She would like to find a job in acute care. Kelsey would like to say thank you to her family, friends, and her future hubby, Ev, for their love and support. Meredith Brown is receiving a stethoscope from her grandmother, Doris Phillips. Meredith has accepted a job at Augusta Health in the operating room and will start once she receives her license. She would like to thank her family and her friends for their support during this program. Heather Cotting is being pinned with a ring by her husband, Eric Cotting, and her children, Caitlin, Joseph, and Matthew. The ring symbolizes her commitment to nursing within the Sacred Covenant approach. Heather would like to thank Eric for his amazing and unwavering support. Without him, she couldn't have done this. She would also like to thank her family and close friends for their faithful prayers and loving support. Zachary Coverdale is being pinned with a pin by his parents, Scott and Aline Coverdale. After graduation, Zach will be going back to Tucson, Arizona, to look for a critical care position and work with migrant populations. He would like to thank family, faculty, and friends for making this experience all that it was, and is eternally grateful for the abundance, growth, and learning that was so much a part of the process. Emma Dalen is being penned by her mama and papa, Mel and John Dalen. Emma is receiving a simple ring to remind her of her commitment to care that she hopes to care for. Emma plans to return home to Franklin, West Virginia to see what life has in store for her. She thanks everyone in this process for playing their part. Katie Ekman is receiving a stethoscope from her dear friend and roommate, Rachel Richard. She is so thankful for the encouragement and love of her roommates, friends, teammates, professors, and family throughout nursing school. Katie plans to return to Lancaster County, Pennsylvania to study and work. Carissa Good is receiving a stethoscope from her parents, Claire and Beth Good. Oh, sorry, Phil and Deb Good. I got one ahead of myself, the Goods. Sorry, Phil and Deb Good. After graduation, Carissa will be taking some much needed time off. She is interviewing at Duke Hospital within the next 3 weeks. Fingers crossed. Naomi Good is receiving a stethoscope from her parents, Claire and Beth Good. Beth was a graduate of the EMU nursing program. Post-graduation, Naomi is getting married to Andrew Yoder in June. Then she will move to Charlottesville, Virginia in September, where she will work in the neuro ICU at UVA. Holly Jensen is receiving a stethoscope from her mother, Jenny Jensen. Her post-grad plans are to take a deep breath and relax, go to Guatemala this summer and fall and learn some Spanish, and then look for some nursing jobs in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Amber Lofton is receiving a stethoscope from her parents, Mary Dawn and Ron Slagle. After rocking the NCLEX, she plans to travel to Costa Rica and not worry about anything to do with nursing. Amber has taken a position on 5 West at Sentara RMH, working with stroke, telemetry, and renal patients. She cannot wait to start paying back those student loans. Casey Miller is receiving a nursing pen from her parents, Brent and Debbie Miller. Casey has taken a position on family birthplace at Sentara Rockingham Memorial Hospital after graduation. She would like to thank her family, Andrew, Cincy, friends, and nursing professors for all their love and support through this amazing journey. Caitlin Morris is receiving a stethoscope from her parents, Amy and Larry Morris. After graduation, she plans to take a few months off and then work in a local emergency department. She would like to thank her family and friends for keeping her sane through nursing school. Megan Nafziger, is receiving a pin from her parents, Don and Rose Nafziger. After graduation, she is planning to return to Pennsylvania to take the NCLEX and then find a job close to home. Becca Richmond is receiving a stethoscope from her little brother, Brent Richmond. After graduation, Becca will be leaving for Peru in August to serve with the organization Sacred Valley Health for a year. She will be participating in their Lay Health Promoter Program and practicing her Spanish. Becca would like to thank all of her family, friends, and nursing professors for their support, guidance, and understanding. Victor Ritchie is receiving a stethoscope from his mother, Pam Ritchie. See Victor after the ceremony to find out more information. Elise Souter is receiving a stethoscope from her professor, Laura Yoder. After graduation, Elise plans on moving to Newport News to work at Mary Immaculate Hospital as a labor and delivery nurse. She wants to thank her family for letting her go to school over 8 hours away so she could attend an awesome Mennonite school in the Valley. Renita Shank is receiving a stethoscope from her parents, Alan and Sharon Shank. Post-graduation, Renita is going to be serving in West Virginia this summer with MCC SWAP, sharing with Appalachian people, then coming back to the area and looking for a nursing job, hopefully in obstetrics or public health. She would like to thank the nursing department, her family, her friends, and her roommates for being so supportive. Lydia Stutzman will be receiving a stethoscope from her parents, Dr. Maurice and Carla Stutzman. This summer, she will be studying Arabic in Morocco through a scholarship program. Afterwards, she plans on working wherever she gets a job. A thank you goes out to her wonderful family and friends for supporting her through the difficult journey of nursing school. Liu Teklemichael is receiving a stethoscope from her parents, Akalu Teklemichael and Bitswan Amara. She would like to thank her parents and amazing siblings for their encouragement and support. Her plans are to work on a med-surg or telemetry unit in DC and continue her education with a master's in public health. One day, Liu hopes to someday work with street children infected with HIV in Ethiopia. Afton Vandewalker is receiving a stethoscope from her grandfather, Dr. James Thompson. Her postgraduate plans are to work in the operating room at UVA. She wants to extend a huge thank you to the nursing department for being so approachable, compassionate, and caring, and for being the sweetest, strongest, coolest people she knows. Lindsay Wallace is being pinned by her mother, Laura, and son, Trey. Her postgraduate plans are to spend some time with her son and husband and to find a job. She would like to thank her husband and family for their love, encouragement, and support along the way. She would also like to thank her sweet baby boy for his smiles and hugs and the strength that she that gave her strength that she needed during her final semester. Carrie Weaver is receiving a necklace from her parents, Todd and Ann Weaver. Her postgraduate plans are to work in a hospital in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, doing something along the lines of med-surg, cardiac, or emergency medicine. Long-term dreams of doing nursing service overseas and continuing her education. She would like to thank her wonderful family and friends for their support and encouragement. Katie White is being pinned with an EMU pin by her parents, Gary and Pat Martin. After graduation, Katie will begin working at Augusta Health Emergency Room at the end of July. She would like to thank her parents, husband, friends, and nursing faculty for all their support and guidance throughout the program. Sammy Wilson is being pinned by her mother, Nancy Wilson. The pin is her great-grandmother's, Dorothy McDonald's nursing pin she received at her pinning ceremony in 1937 from the St. John General Hospital in New Brunswick, Canada. Post-graduation, Sammy hopes to find a job in the NICU. She would like to thank her supportive fiancé and family for walking with her in this journey. She could not have done it without their support. Let's give them all one more big hand.
Just one thing, let me borrow your sky, and I'll pledge myself to the service of humanity and will endeavor to practice my profession with conscience and dignity. I will maintain by all means in my power the honor and noble tradition of my profession. The total health of my patients will be my first consideration. I will hold in confidence all personal matters coming to my knowledge. I will not permit consideration of religion, nationality, race, or social standing to intervene between my duty and my patient. I will maintain the utmost respect for human life. I make these promises solemnly, freely, and upon my honor.
Here we are. The season is changing. Spring is here. The colors are coming out. And we are also entering a new season in life and moving forward into change. The hard work, dedication, and learning that we have all done in the past 4 years has led to this moment. We have overcome challenges together. We have cared for newborn babies coming into the world, new life, people in the most vulnerable time of their life experiencing acute sickness, and we have held hands while people move out of this world into whatever is next, and we've done all that together. We've grown close together, and now as we prepare to embark in the next step of our journey, we recognize that there are 27 new journeys beginning here, and the eternal impact that these journeys will have and that the care that we provide will have on people all over the world and wherever that will be. So I just want to take this time to recognize that and thank you for being here today.
We just wanted to take a moment to attempt to thank everybody who has been a part of our journey these past 4 years. I want to start by thanking my peers who worked very hard to make this day special. Liz and Casey, Meredith, Sammy, and Emma worked diligently to make sure that all the small details were met. And we thank Kathy Rittenhouse for making hundreds of cookies for us. And we thank Don for his wonderful talk today. Emma's grandma provided the flowers at the front, and Lindsay's mom, Lara, made a lot of cakes for us as well. So we thank you all. I also want to thank our family and friends who have been by our sides throughout these 4 years. You've let us travel from places as far as Ethiopia, Arizona, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and as close to home as Harrisonburg. And for that, we thank you because this has been a great journey here. And we also just want to give a special thank you to our nursing faculty, because without you, we wouldn't be standing here today. You have all been with us from the very first day, holding our hands as we entered VMRC for the first time. You have cried with us and laughed with us and prayed with us. You've picked us up when we fell down and celebrated all of our achievements. And throughout it all, you never gave up on us. And finally, I want to thank all of my peers. We've had a long journey, and it's been great. We've studied together, laughed together, had breakdowns in the car on the way home from clinical. We've been through a lot together, and we've become a family, and you will all be dearly missed. Thank you.
Let's pray. Gracious God, healing Christ, transforming Spirit, we acknowledge your power and tenderness in the lives of these women and men now poised to be servants in a world awaiting healing. We thank you for the encouragement of family and friends, for generous supporters, for this nurturing community, and for the dedication and tenacity each graduate brought, that brought them through the mission of preparation to be healers. Around each one is a circle of love, guidance and presence and challenge made today possible. We are grateful. As they move from this day to their calling, we ask for continued guidance and presence and challenge. We ask that these nurses be ministers of reconciliation to bring your shalom to bodies, to families, to systems, to communities. Empower them to be bridges to peace. Remind them that they are nomads and must be prepared to migrate and adapt to ever-shifting environments in search of better healthcare systems and better strategies. Give each one a voice to speak for individuals and communities. Deepen their understanding of the science and art of nursing and of humankind. Sustain their reverence for life. When they become wounded healers, comfort them and hold them, showing your compassion and presence as they confront suffering. Let them know and feel the shelter of your wings. Now we offer them to your service, pledging our support in new ways. For the ministries taking form within them, and for all the callings yet to be for them, we praise your name, O God. Amen. Go in peace.